James just gave me the thumbs up, so I want to get started with tonight. I want to welcome everyone that is here and those that are logged on the website. We do have the prayer clause here, so we're going to, you know, encourage everyone to grab some prayer clause after the service, and those that are logged on to mail us some or what have you, and somehow reach us by email or what have you for us to give these out. There are testimonies behind them, and it's awesome. With that being said, tonight it was laid on my heart about a certain scripture verse that is put into this book called the Bible, and not many of the countries around the world know what this book is, but this is called the Holy Bible, and it's the closest book that I have experienced after my, transformation of my life. And hopefully sooner than later we'll have a book out and it'll explain what happened and all that other stuff. But there's the verse in here that says to be spiritually minded, it's death. To be carnally minded, it's death. But to be spiritually minded, it's life. And I want to explain a little bit about this, because in order for us to truly find freedom, in order for us to truly find a life, our minds have to be renewed. If we don't change the way we're thinking and alter our state of mind, we're going to live in what religion calls sin. But I'm going to talk about that because I want the world to know that there is no condemnation when you begin to renew your mind and you come into a realm of the Spirit. This ministry is all about getting you to be changed and to change into the image of a divine nature, which we call Christ. It's not a pattern of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs or a way of tradition, but it's a way of life. And God has given you life, an abundance of life, and that life is inside of you. And we need to find that life. It's not in a building. It's not on a mountain. It's not over here in some, you know, continent. It's inside of each and every one of you. And it's a life that we all need. And when we tap into this life, we become happy. We become joyful. There's peace and there's righteousness. And so I'm going to read this particular chapter. It's in Romans chapter 8, starting off with verse 1. And it says here, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now, you might say, well, what's the difference between the flesh and the Spirit? Okay? Well, I'm going to make it real simple. The Spirit is your inspiration, how you feel, your unction, your intuition, something that makes you tick, this, heart, your passion, your desire, your wants, all this that's inside of you that makes up who you are is the Spirit. The flesh is your mind. That, and I'm going to narrow it down, reason. Your mind of reason. But it's not always a good reason. It's always the bad reason. How am I going to do this? How's that going to work? Oh my God, I can't do this. Oh my God, I can't do that. It's all nothing but fear and worry and anxiety. Your mind plays tricks on you. How many people realize that? Hopefully we're starting to get a good foundation about the mind in this ministry, because the truth of this ministry is separating the flesh and the Spirit. And the flesh is your mind and your head, the way you're thinking, and all the thoughts that enter in to trouble your heart. The Spirit is you and who you really are and what makes you tick. And my desire is that you would come to know who you are. And that truly is the divine nature of Christ that lives within inside of you. It's the son or the daughter of the living God. It's who you are, and we're all born of our Creator. And I want the world to know who my God is. And my God is not the pillow God, and my God is not the temple God, and my God is not the do's and don'ts and rights and wrong God. My God is gracious and loving, and He gives you righteousness when you line up or obey Christ that's inside of you. And this message here begins to start to say that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase it in my own words. It says that there is now no more guilt or shame, right or wrong, to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to your thoughts of trouble, the thoughts that cause your heart to be troubled, your thoughts that cause fear and worry to enter in, but according to the Spirit, according to your desire, according to your passion, according to your love, according to your wants, according to, your need or what you feel that you need, you know. It says in verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." So when you finally come to a knowledge of life inside of you and you recognize that passion and that desire and that want, and you have a foundation that's built inside of you strong enough to not be concerned about whether or not you can be that, but to hold tight to who it is and live it, is probably the greatest gift that anyone can ever receive. You have been set free from sin and death. You have been set free from your mind always saying worry and fear. How often does your mind always take away what your heart wants? And let's say you do begin to follow your heart. What happens? All of a sudden, your mind begins to start saying, oh, you don't deserve this, or oh, this is too hard, or this is difficult, when we end up hitting some low areas in the desires of what we want to do. Like, let's take, for instance, being a musician. Okay? Right away, yeah, we're all excited. We go out and buy the guitar. We start playing. And then all of a sudden, we go try find gigs. No phone calls. Oh, this isn't good. Our mind starts working on us. Our mind starts saying, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't be a guitar player. Maybe, you know, you can't get any gigs out there. There's nothing out there. And we end up getting defeated. Well, that's coming under sin and death. Because right away, you feel as though that's not really what, maybe you were thinking wrong in your heart. Maybe something was, you know, bothering you or what have you. And then all of a sudden we quit. Death. Okay. But when we can follow the law of the Spirit, then what we do is we try to overcome and fight the battle. Oh, well, okay. Well, maybe, you know, I just can't sit there and wait for the phone to ring. Maybe I can put out some pamphlets or something, or maybe make some phone calls, or maybe just get out on the street and start playing, or maybe I'll just, you know, just keep that passion sitting in my heart and continue to desire and hope. And then all of a sudden, who knows, one day maybe you might end up videoing yourself and putting it on YouTube, and next thing you know, it goes viral. But the bottom line is you didn't divert from the Spirit of Christ that was within inside of you. And this is where he says that there's no condemnation, because all of a sudden, you know, there's a breakthrough that comes. And I want us to have breakthroughs in our lives. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Meaning, you know, oh, it'll never work. Oh, it'll never happen. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of the sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Meaning, we got to see this man in this book, Jesus, who is an example for us to follow. Follow his heart. And then we realized what happened afterwards. When he was put to death, he was resurrected and then sat on the right-hand side of the throne of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So his destiny manifested. But let's just stick with what we are here right now. And let's talk about us. Let's talk about us getting our likeness of Christ inside of us so that our lives can be free from sin and death. And we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because when we walk in the Spirit, something happens. The divine nature, as soon as you surrender your life to the Spirit, the divine nature all of a sudden puts righteousness on you. So you look good. You know, it's like if my daughters obey me, I'm so proud of them. And so they are good in my sight. Somebody else might say, you know, oh, well, I don't agree with what they did. It doesn't matter. Because they did what was pleasing in my sight. And because it was pleasing in my sight, they have righteousness with me. They did good. Well, that's the same thing with God. When we walk according to his word, his law, we take on his righteousness. And that's the only best way to live. Because deep down inside, no matter what is happening, you feel good about yourself. Now, one of the things that is a big struggle with most of us in the world is feeling good about ourselves. And we feel empty and depressed. Has anyone ever felt that way where you're just like feeling blah? Well, one of the main reasons why you're feeling blah is because we're really not committed to the law written on our heart, and we're more carnally minded, and we're living in a flesh nature of thought all the time, and we have to cast down the thought. Now, some of you are going to have the privileges of spending a lot of time with me, and I'll be able to be the discerner of your thoughts and find out, well, if you're living in your head or are you living in your heart, where are you living, you know? Most of us develop such a pattern of living in our heads, we don't even know how to live in our heart. Our hearts are lost. And this is what it means by being lost or a sinner. Oh, you're a sinner. Or you're lost. And when people, you know, become born again or what have you, oh, I'm found, you know, and I'm no longer a sinner. Well, you know, that old-time religion has to be torn down and put to bed, because if you accept, you know, Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you know, in the religious group, I don't know what else is there, Muslims or Asians or, you know, whatever other groups of religion there is. But they talk about being washed from sin, and they also talk about being born again and having a new life. Well, the only way that you can be, you know, washed without sin and being born again and having a new life is when you finally find yourself and you're no longer lost, and you can be a discerner of the thoughts in the heart. And you know, now it's my heart that is, you know, we finally got to the root, and this is my heart, and now I know what my heart is saying, now I know what my heart is talking, and I'm going to live according to the heart. Now you're living according to the law of God, now you're living according to his righteousness, and what begins to develop is you begin to start becoming free. This is a spiritual mystery that not most of us can understand in our minds, but we have to just believe on what I'm saying and then begin to follow what I'm saying and live what I'm saying so that you can experience this righteousness that is very hard to even understand because we haven't even tasted it. It's almost like a young person who is free to the point where most of us think that they're rebellious. Oh, they're so rebellious, they don't listen, they're just, you know, doing whatever the heck they want. And they're like, yeah, man, like granola bars, like, yeah, man, you know, hey. Well, I can actually say that that person is not rebellious, that person's free, just immaturely. You see, maybe their life is not organized yet, but they're in a really good place. So they're receiving the righteousness of God, whether they know it or not. I mean, if I could get a hold of those people that are listening out there that are like granola heads that are just like, yeah, man, wow, surf's up, yeah. I would say enjoy it now because eventually life and the responsibilities of life will eventually mold them to the point where they grow up. But, you know, there are points in life where people never grow up, and then that becomes a problem. And that's why a lot of people are disturbed with that lifestyle because they look at it and say, ah, they never grow up, you know. So everything is case by case, but that's an example of a free-styled life. And God wants us to really have a free-style life. But he wants us mature in the free-styled life. We always should leave room open for concerns. And I'm always a big one on this one because I have a carefree life. And if some of you might know me can say, how could you possibly live this way and yet still be happy and have joy and peace in your heart when the whole world's crumbling around you, you know? And I say to them, because of the fact of my foundation. I have a good, strong foundation. I have concerns, and I address the concerns, but I don't let the concerns worry me. I don't let the concerns take my mind and trouble my heart. And that's the difference. And I'm hoping to bring us to a place of this lifestyle so that you can be spiritually minded, so to say. Not carnally minded, because if we're spiritually minded, we have life. If we're carnally minded, then we live in death. And carnally minded is when you take concerns and you work those concerns to the point where your heart is troubled. Does anyone know the difference here, what I'm saying? You know, you can have concerns. Concerns are healthy. It's part of maturity. It's part of growing up. It's almost like that person that I mentioned earlier, the granola surf up dude, you know? Hey, wow, man. They don't have any concerns. Well, that's immature. You need to be able to have concerns in life. You need to realize that, you know, where you're at and how to conduct yourself and things of that nature and have concerns. But at the same time, don't let those concerns overwhelm you and cause your heart to be troubled. And this is one of the things that is important to this message that I'm trying to share tonight, because I know a lot of us want a relationship with God. A lot of us want God to do blessings and things in our life, but there's order in heaven, and it's almost like you can't serve two gods and expect to have all the good blessings and everything from the God that we want to serve, because of course that's why you're searching for God, right? What is the reason for you to follow God? Is to feel good, to get on the right path, to get the blessings of God, to get the protection from God, to get the life that he has given us, because you know that when we don't live in his will, when we don't live in his ways, then we're open for attacks and we're open for like destruction and death and all those other things. So, you know, we may not subconsciously or consciously know why we're searching for God, but subconsciously we know. We know that if we don't walk in God's ways or search for him or seek for him, then we're going to get smacked around. It's just the way it is. Subconsciously, we're born with an awareness that there is a God. And I always said this to people who were like atheists and stuff. Okay, let me put you on the edge of the cliff and get ready to throw you off. I bet you're going to say, oh, God! You know, you'll scream out because subconsciously, we all know that there's a God and we're all looking for God and we're all looking for the creator of the universe. And so when we're depressed, confused, lost, things aren't happening the way we want, that's when we start searching. Amen? How many people would agree? When everything is great and hunky-dory and, oh, we don't need God. What, God? Yeah, okay, yeah, I see him once a week. Well, I'm hoping and praying that through this ministry and you listening through this ministry, you will begin to understand that there's an importance to have God 24/7 in your life so you're not just running to him and creating the pillow God that I speak about a lot. To have a relationship with God and live in God is really where the real life is. To not have a relationship with God and not live in God, you don't have a life. And for me to try to give you a life, I have to show you the real way of how to get a life. And part of how to get a life is cutting off the mind. The mind is an enemy against God. It's totally against the spirit world. And why God does it that way, I guess he wants us to totally surrender this life so that we can have a life in him. And, you know, people argue with me all the time, well, why does he give us a mind then to think and all that other stuff? Well, you know, you can live without a mind. I do it. I'm living perfectly fine. Matter of fact, I'm smarter than your mind because there's inspirations and knowings and foresight ahead. It's like prophetic or prophecy or what have you, before you can even comprehend through your mind. So the heart, the spirit, is well advanced and ahead of your mind and your thoughts. So your mind and your thoughts are ignorant and they don't have any capacity to know or even have a clue to know. Your mind really is just always tearing you down, always putting in these negative thoughts. Now you can try to be creative with your mind, and I mix my thoughts with my heart. Yes, I use my mind to add and subtract. Yes, I use my mind to sit there and ponder, okay? But what gives me the answer? My heart. How do I feel? What's the Spirit of God saying to me? How's it directing me? How's it guiding me? How's it, you know, causing me to walk in a certain direction? How is my heart telling me yes or no? You see? My mind can come up with a yes or a no, but it wavers. All of a sudden, did I make the right decision? You sure? There's nothing more than doubt and uncertainty. There is no strong foundation in the mind. The mind is always doubting yourself. But when you know who you are, your heart will establish you. And when you know that you know that you know, you don't waver. Now, by doing this, it gives you the strength, okay, when the attacks come. And I'm not going to say that there isn't going to be any attacks. I'm not going to say that once your heart makes a decision and you move forward in your heart that there isn't going to be attacks. But your heart is like a testimony. Oh, no, God said. You know, oh, no, God directed me, and this is the way I'm going to go. and you begin to follow it, and then eventually you overcome the attack, and then you find out the blessing. How many of us ever made a decision and then thought about it afterwards and said, did I make the right decision? And then you're tormented because of that decision? Okay. 99.9% of the decision was probably finalized in your head, not really in your heart. And if it was finalized in your heart, then we need a more of a foundation to learn how to battle that decision so that you can have peace afterwards. The battle on a heart decision isn't really that long. I would say probably within the 24-hour period, because God will let you rest. Sometimes it's very difficult to sleep when you have a thought in your mind. Has anyone ever had trouble sleeping, tossing to and fro? Well, you're not living in the heart. You're living in your mind. And that's what it means by being carnally minded is death. When you live in your mind, you can't sleep. You're troubled. And it causes you to toss to and fro. If you live in your heart can be at rest and it'll sleep. I had a troubled heart, but I still slept well. You see? Something in your mind keeps you from sleeping. How many of us here have a little bit of a trouble sleeping sometimes? Okay. Well, this is why it's so important to hear this message tonight, because it'll help you sleep. We got to start learning how to live in our heart, live in the spirit, and surrender our lives in the spirit. Your mind's a muscle, okay? And what causes you to sleep is a content muscle. When your muscle is content, it'll rest, it'll sleep. But if it's working, you're going to keep it up all night. Am I making sense? Okay. So when you're thinking about something and you can't get it off your mind, guess what? You're working out. You're not sleeping. You won't sleep until you finally wear that out or give up and throw it away. Well, that's because what's happening when you pray or you talk to God? When you have a conversation, is because what you have done is you surrendered it to God, okay? And then you began to dwell in the heart. And so what you did is you checked out your mind. You hit the time card, and that's what shut your mind off, and now you're living in the heart. You're living in spirit, and the spirit gave you rest. See? These are some things that we can use to walk in the spirit. There are tools that we can take by walking in the spirit, and one of them is prayer. You go to God, you talk to God, you start, you know. But we have to get the right God, not the pillow God. Okay?
No,
You're advanced, you see. In your walk of finding my God, you're advanced in walking in the Spirit. So because you are advanced, you have been building a foundation, okay? You are now able to come into the Spirit quicker than most people, okay? When we can train our hearts, okay, and our minds to shut off and our hearts to live, you enter into a life. So if I would say to you, John, there are times where you teeter on the fence post, you see? There's going to be a time where you're just going to be constantly in spirit and never come into the flesh, never come into the mind. This is the ultimate goal for all of us, is to come completely in spirit. And by that, is building a foundation, knowing the truth. And you know the truth, and that's why you have been able to exercise a gift, your conversation with God. For one, the truth is that you built inside of you that there is a God. And not only is there a God, but there is a God of faith. So now you believe with your heart that this God exists. You know how big of a foundation that is alone right there to give you a spiritual life? A lot of people confess with their lips, but their heart is so far from them. And this is the problem that I have with a lot of people that profess that they're Christians, or they profess that they know God. They profess that they are spiritual, but yet I look at their life and I'm saying, you're so carnally minded. You're so carnally living. I don't see any spirit life in you whatsoever. Look at you. You're a hot mess. You see? Someone who is spiritually minded, who is truly knowing God, who truly has a foundation, okay, are in the truth. The truth is what sets us free. The truth is what allows us to become born again. The truth is allows us to not be lost, but to be found. The truth is the spirit that's inside of us that has the relationship with God, so that we, in itself, overcome death. And that's the last battle, death. Now there's a physical death, and then there's a spiritual death. And what I mean by a spiritual death is when the carnal mind dies. That's a spirit. The mind is a spirit, isn't it? And the heart is also a spirit. But the heart, your feeling, what you really believe in, your convictions and all that, that in itself is God. That's God. This spirit in the mind is not God. It's your spirit. It's your flesh. It's you. And we want to die to self. We want to die to this spirit in our minds. We want to live in the heart. A lot of people will argue with me because of the fact that they can't see the two. They have no idea that there is actually two. No.
Sleep is a good way to distinguish the two.
It is. It's probably one of the main sources, because everything is connected to sleep. If you have depression, you can't sleep, or you sleep too much.
You know? Sleep.
Yeah, right.
Drink yourself to sleep.
Right. So I guess tonight what I'd like to try to do is get the world out there and those that are here today to really truly understand that we are made up of two. You know, one of the biggest battles is people actually believing. And that's what separates us from the two. Faith. When I said to John, you have a strong foundation because you believe in God. And you have faith. That alone in itself is a humongous hurdle. Because without faith, we can't please God. And so one of the things of having a relationship and salvation is to please God. We want God to save us, right? How many of us want the blessings of God? We want something from Him, right? Okay. Well, what do we need to do? We need to please Him. If you want something from me, you better start pleasing me. If you're making me upset and you're, you know, getting on my bad side, guess what? You ain't getting nothing. Well, you know, God is the same way. He's no different. He's just like us, but without sin. He has a righteousness that is unspeakable. But we can also carry the same righteousness. His righteousness is in each and every one of us. And so there's a process of getting into the Spirit. We have to realize that there is no condemnation. We have to realize that our minds play tricks on us, and we have to find ourselves. We're lost. And by finding ourselves, we sit down and say, let's get serious. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Okay? This is actually the eye-opener of the beginning of finding a life. Because all of us, there is something wrong with us. Every one of us has a problem. Every one of us has an issue. Every one of us. And I'm going to tell you what the roots of these issues and problems are. I have a problem. I don't know what it is, but I know that there's a problem. You know how I know that there's a problem? I'm lacking a peace. I'm lacking of a joy. There's something inside of me, or there's something going on around me that is causing a problem in my life. And I feel lost. Has anyone ever felt that way? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you how to be found. I'm going to tell you how to stop being lost. First of all, we got to get honest with ourselves. We got to stop playing games. We got to just stop playing games. We got to stop being in denial. And then we have to look at the facts. What is it that you don't like? Amen? I'm going to tell you, this is truth. Because what you don't like, 99.9% is because you're on the wrong path. You're on the wrong path. When you get on the right path, you're going to like it. When you're off the wrong path, you're not going to like it. So you got to stop and say, what is it that I don't like? And then you have to fix it. You might have to walk away completely from a whole different realm of what you're doing and what you're living in so that you can get right back on the other path. You might have to shut down your whole entire life. Literally, just shut it down and start over again. Has anyone ever felt that way before? I'm telling you, I've already reached that place. I thank God for what He has done in my life, because I knew the path that I was supposed to be on. But He's altered certain things in my life to get me on that path. And I had to literally shut down. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't think just because you said, I'm going to shut down, and it only becomes a week, think that's enough time. Eternity is forever, dude. So your week might be like a flash in the pan. It might be a year. It might be 2 years. It might be 3 years until you regroup and get honest with yourself in what you really want out of life. What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you really want? Then you got to ask yourself, okay, let's get realistic. Is it obtainable? Okay, yes, it is attainable. I'm going to tell you right now, everything that you want and everything that you like is attainable. The question is, can you endure? Can you walk the path long enough to obtain what you're looking for? See, there's a big thing here, and I know the truth, and I hope and pray that I have the opportunity to sit down with everyone and get them on their right path. I've committed my life for this service, and it might be every time I say, okay, you ready for a life? Are you willing to forsake all to follow Him? Are you ready to forsake all and follow Him? That is the main root that you really want to listen to. Are you willing to forsake all? What is all? Everything. Are you willing to lay down what you think you love? Are you willing to lay down? Now, when you lay it down, I'm going to tell you right now, if it's meant for God for you to have it, He'll restore it, and He'll restore it 100-fold. Exactly right, like He did with Job. But if it's not meant for you to have it, you might as well just say goodbye. It'll never come back again. As you begin to follow him, are you willing to have a new life? Are you willing to walk in the spirit and not walk in the flesh? Because the direction that we're walking in is walking in the flesh. If we continue to walk in the flesh, it's just death. You're going to be fighting a battle that you don't even understand why you're fighting, and you're just going to keep fighting and keep fighting and keep fighting. I have a brother who is very close to me in my heart. Okay? He's very close to me in the heart. And there was words prophesied over him and everything else in that moment. Do you know that prophecy is for the moment? It's according to the desire of their heart. But then all of a sudden, heart changes. That means prophecy changes, doesn't it? Because if prophecy is according to the heart, it's only according to the heart. So if the heart's changing, well, then the prophecy can change. You could invest or commit 10 years into something. Is our pride going to keep it? Or are we willing to just lay it down and say, I want this life? Do you want a life more than what you invested in? Are you willing to take a loss than what you invested in? Because your investments to God doesn't mean squat. Doesn't mean nothing. God doesn't care what you invested in. He doesn't care. They're all tests. Are you willing to walk away? That's the key. Are you willing to lay it at his feet and walk away so that the things of him, that are of him are restored? See, I want what he wants. Because what he wants is eternal in my life. What I want and what I think I want is not eternal. It won't last. But what he wants is eternal. And I want it to last. I believe that we carry on over. And scripture says, why store up treasures here on earth when the moths and rust destroy them? Well, those treasures that we're storing up are based on our mind. It's our treasures. But he says, store treasures in heavenly places. Well, that's his will. That's heart. That's heart will. That's his will. And in the beginning, most of us don't even know his will. We don't even have any clue what the heavenly path is for our lives. This is why we need a sabbatical. You know, what I know today, everyone that I see that wants to become born again, who is truly wanting to be a follower of God, it's almost to the point where I say to them, okay, sell everything that you have and follow me. A lot of them go away sad. Because they can't do it. And it's better for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man, you know, find a way into heaven. Yeah, exactly right. They can't. Now, it's easy when they have nothing. Yeah, okay, I'll follow you. I don't got nothing anyhow. But what about the ones who have everything, the rich ones? Now, you might not be physically rich, but you're rich in possessions. You're rich in your thought. You're rich in your thinking. Think about it. It's better to be a fool than a wise man in God's eyes. And to be a fool in God is to just lay it all down. I have two individuals right here, Julian and Larry, who I love very, very deeply. And I'm so glad that I get to see my sweetheart today. But there are two individuals that I can say right now that they are at the threshold of truly walking in the path of God, where they have reached that place in their heart to lay it all down. And I'm getting all whelmed up just thinking of it. Because I can see. This is some of the gifts that God has given me. And I can see. And you have said in your heart not too long ago, I'm not even going to try to think about it anymore. And that just put a big smile on my God's face. And now you're willing to go with the wind. And whatever the wind says and blows, you're willing to do it. That's the beginning of eternal life. And I'm happy. Because of that, you're going to be blessed. Expect your blessings. I hope and pray that we all find this life. I really do. With time, I got to cut it short. But stay tuned, because I know next Wednesday we'll build on this one. Sunday I'm speaking about fear and how to overcome fear. I spoke about Sunday where in eternity there is no fear. Doesn't exist. And to live in an eternal life, to live in a heavenly life, we need to know how to overcome fear. And I'm gonna share with us how to overcome fear so that we enter into a perfect love, and this perfect love casts out all the fear. With that being said, I'm going to call Tim up real quick. Save it for next week? Awesome. Okay, good. Awesome. All right, with time, Tim is honoring the time too. We were going to go off the web and then go into just some personal time right now. But I want to encourage those that are here to try to live in that realm of the Spirit. And if you really want to follow God and be on the right path, which I encourage you, listen, it's going to take a lot from you. It's going to take a lot from you. But you're going to have to be willing to be able to lay it all down. And trust me when I say lay it all down. You don't have to, like, disappear from life. You don't have to quit life, okay? But you have to begin to start realizing that these things that are in your life are going to have to fade away. And then you're going to have to steer directly towards another chapter in your life. Eternity has time. Okay? And I want you to know that there is time in this. It's planning your future. It's almost like, you know, when you're younger and you want to plan your future. You know? Well, you have to plan your future. And some of those that are close to me know that I'm a very good planner. I might plan things 4 or 5 years from now, and you won't even know it, but I'm just sitting and waiting. I'm just sitting and waiting as things fall into play. And then when things fall into play, that's when I make my move, you see? And so, you know, I thank God. He laid this call on my heart 13 years ago, and there's a perfect example. I knew the call, and I was just waiting for him to put it in play. I had to take a couple of smacks from God. But you know what? His pleasure is to smack his children. And when you know the love of God, those smacks only hurt for a moment. And if you really know the truth, you know that he'll never give you more than you can handle. So you can handle the smacks from God. But I'm happy that he did what he did to me. I'm on a path now of pure righteousness, I call it. You know, as I live my life, there are carnal things that I'm warring against because I had an old nature. And you're going to have an old nature if you listen to me. And you're going to have to war against that old nature, because your old nature has a pattern. Your old nature has habits. Your old nature has a way of thinking that you're going to have to, like, tear down and rebuke. And you're going to have to start accepting who you are and the new life that you have. And it's a process. And then as you meditate on it and you begin to receive it, things get a little easier. And then you accept what is happening in your life. Look, you might be at a point in your life right now that nothing's going on. Don't complain about it. Just be grateful that nothing's going on. Just ask God how to deal with the boredom, or how to deal with the new move, or how to deal with, you know, tomorrow. That's really what it comes down to. Now, I have the pleasures, hopefully, if this individual is willing for me to bring her into her new life. I'm going to give her her life, and she's going to live the life that she wants to live. But if she really wants a life, I can direct her and guide her into the real life that she really wants. The last thing you want to do is make someone feel as though that you're controlling their life. How many people have ever felt that way? And they don't want to be, don't control my life, it's my life. And then they really go off to the left. And they don't hear you one bit. They don't want to listen to you. They don't want to hear you. But I hope we got something out of this message tonight. I hope we really got to have an awareness of how much the mind is an enemy against God and how important it is for us to really get serious in what we want. What do we want? You see? What do we want? And it might be fishing all day. Well, that might be the will of God just to build your faith, to show you that he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You see? Now, the question is can we enjoy fishing all day without being tormented about thoughts? You see? Because we have patterns. We have... We have lifestyles. We have responsibilities. You see? We have a lot of things that war against God and faith. God and faith is a mystery. And he has given us a life. God and faith has given us a life already. And he supplies all of our need for that life in his glory. And the life in his glory is hidden in our heart. And we need to uncover it and discover it so that we can follow it. But we won't be able to find it until we get serious with ourselves and honest with ourselves. And be willing to forsake everything. It's easier when you're young and you don't have any responsibilities and you're a kid. It's so difficult when you become an adult, and especially the head of the household, where you hold a lot of the responsibilities and you have to take care of another person or what have you. I know the struggles, I know the pain, I know the sufferings of the world. But when you know God and you know eternal life, you know how to come free from it. The truth unfolds itself. The problem is believing enough to sacrifice. And I hope and pray that we can come to that sacrifice. That's the hardest part. Are you willing to sacrifice the lamb that is slain? You're a lamb of God, and are you willing to lay that lamb down on the altar and sacrifice it? Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Those that are listening on the web, I want to thank you for logging in. Please continue to log on. Don't forget that PayPal. Bam! Smack it. It keeps us alive. Amen.